You know, in order to begin a new year right, you'd have to know what's first, where to begin. And sometimes our lives get really out of order, and so then it's time to welcome a fresh start. And that's why we give Him the first full week of the year for prayer and fasting. We recommit ourselves to Him for the first day of the week to be devoted to Him in worship on Sundays. We make a fresh commitment of that. And that's why we tithe, is because we're giving Him the first tenth of all of our increase. And the Scripture says that we seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, and everything else would be added. He's the God of the first. He wants to be first. Jesus said then over in the Gospels, if you don't seek me before everything else, you cannot be my disciple. And so I was actually thinking about ministering on all of these first things this morning. And the Lord said the most precious thing to me, there's something else that's before all of that that's first. Making me your first love. Before anyone can put me first, He said, he must love me first. Before you put Him first, you must love Him first. Revelation 2, verse 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and you have not fainted. Imagine doing all of that. And the Lord says, but I've got something against you. I don't want the Lord being against me, do you? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. All that's going to happen is He'll put your light out. And there's no need to be here if you're not light, because all the darkness in this world, the only thing we have to give this dark world is light. Not another good idea. We've had plenty of those, and we're so proud of them, and they still have left us in captivity. In His mercy, He always calls us back to Himself and warns us of losing the light of the fire of the Holy Spirit. The New Living Bible put it this way. It says, you don't love me or each other as you used to. Look how far you have fallen. You know, when Jesus is not your first love, you don't love people as much either. Because we need Jesus' love in order to love people. Because you know why we have trouble loving people? Because they're like us. And God is like God. It's easy to love Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. You can count on Him. How many of you counted on somebody and you were sorry that you did? So there are problems in this loving people business. We have to love Jesus first. The Lord came to me this past week. I said, the Lord came to me this past week in fresh encounter. And He visited with me. Now, I don't know about you, but if you can understand how to learn how to visit with God, when He approaches you, let Him in. And when He wants to be with you, don't go do what else must be done. Nothing must be done if He's there. Don't answer the stupid phone one more time as if anything different's going to happen for you to answer a phone. It's just a phone. It's really going to destroy our lives if we don't get a hold of what matters and put Him first. Anyway, very clearly, when He was visiting with me on this morning, and He prolonged His visitation with me, and He began to speak to me, and speak to my heart and encourage me and lift me up and renew some promises. Very clearly, he reminded me of the dream he gave me and I shared with you a few weeks ago, followed by a prophetic word and a prayer meeting that many doors are open to us, but there are also many adversaries. And he began to remind me, and he said, I did those things, and I spoke those things. I gave you those dreams, and I spoke those prophetic words, and I did those things because I'm moving in to move on you so that you can move up and move out. And he gave me the words further and deeper. This year will be a year of great progress in the journey. I am glad we had a wonderful worship service today. It's a great way to put an exclamation mark on the fact that it's going to be a great year. He said to me, I'm going to take you further and deeper. I'm going to take you further through opening doors, me and the church. And I'll take you deeper through a new understanding of the breadth and the power of love and forgiveness. And there will be revelation of love and forgiveness. And he will take you into such a realm that you would say, if only I had known this before. He said to me, remember that I'm giving you a strong testimony that cannot be resisted. Remember in my dream? I gave my testimony over and over and over again, and nobody could resist it. And they believed whatever I told them because of the strong testimony. That cannot be resisted. I have cleared up the confusion. And this makes it easier for you to go further. And I'll cause doors to be opened that the enemy cannot shut. I always want to take you further and deeper, he said, but it must always come through a return to your first love. You'll always be on a journey. How many of you just think you're just sitting down now because you've already been on the journey? Hello, wake up. If you go on with Jesus, you'll always be on a journey. There's no such thing as a static state of grace. God is always moving on. He's always giving more grace. He's always taking you and keeping you on that journey. You'll always be on a journey. And he said, I will always come to you to take you further and deeper. You know, Jesus called people. He called people. He called his disciples. He gives us a hunger and a desire to know him. That's what a call is. Some people are just blobbing through life. They're just letting life happen to them. They're just saying, oh, I've got to do this, that, and I've got to do this, that, which means life has taken over their life. What you got to do is love Jesus and then put everything else in order around your life. Remember that first desire, that deep yearning for more of him? To really know him. How many remember that first yearning before you knew him that started coming in your heart? It was almost like a gnawing hunger. So deep. Nothing else would satisfy it. The things that used to satisfy that wouldn't satisfy anymore. When he began to stir my heart and draw me to himself, that call was irresistible. Out of the Song of Solomon 1:7, he made this word live to me. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Song of Solomon is a picture of the process involved in coming into the true relationship with Jesus. John and I have found a place where we can watch some movies about John Wesley and John Bunyan and all of these wonderful people. It's on Amazon, by the way. And wonderful, wonderful pictures. This is one of the things that we've been doing while it's been cold. And it is so wonderful. The Wesley brothers, John and Charles, they were brought up in the church in the day of deism, which was mainly what people thought. And they really thought that's all there was until God came to them. Deism means that God just put the world together and threw it out there and said, there you go, now run yourself, have at it. Deism means a God once removed. You simply do the best you can and wait to see if you can have eternal life. No, 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 no. The gospel is, it's not that at all. The gospel is, we have a Jesus who died for us, and he died as us, and he provided everything we'll ever need to live this life. And he died so we could have a relationship with him. And by his blood, we could come boldly to the throne of grace and know him. And he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Well, Methodism got its wonderful, brilliant, fiery start because the Wesley brothers decided what it was to be born again. Thank God. The Song of Solomon is a picture of the process involved in coming in that true relationship. And through it, we learn that we cannot be fruitful in his kingdom without coming into an intimate relationship with him. You can work your fingers to the bone, and you can get a lot of busy bodies busying around. And you can call it church if you want to, but you'll always be hungry and thirsty because you haven't touched the relationship that causes you to be fruitful, that bears fruit, that remains because it's fruit of the Holy Ghost. And that's why he wants his people always with him as branches in the vine. Man's day of being the vine is over. We got to let him be the vine. We are branches. Now, when you get really dependent on him, and don't say, I'm going to do this, and I know a church that does that, and why don't we do this? And when you just learn what it is to be in the branch, in the vine, then we're moving into fruit-bearing mode. We can't be fruitful working for him if we're not vitally connected in relationship with him. So Song of Solomon 7:10 says, I'm my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. We come to a place in our relationship, and that's what Song of Solomon is about. It's about how the relationship, the journey, how the journey goes on. You do come to the place where you really understand that you belong to him, and he desires, his desire is toward you. He's for you. He's with you. He wants to work with you, wants you to work with him. And so then he gives you invitation to work with him in the harvest. Verse 11, come, my beloved, and let us go forth into the field. This is when he gives us a call. When we get to where he can trust us, then he calls us into the field and the vineyard and lets us go with him into the harvest. Verse 11, come, my beloved, and let us go into the field and let us lodge in the villages. And let us get up early to the vineyards. And let us see if the vine flourish and whether the tender grape appear. And the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The Lord is holding out to us now, even to this church, a tender grape harvest. Tender grape. That whereas he's not going to bring a bunch of people in so they can sit and criticize. Or people that have been there and done that and checked out most of the churches. Really, I had a couple tell me they had been to 52 churches in the area. One for every week in the year. They said, I know it sounds kind of weird, but you know what? They didn't stay here either. Can you believe that? And see, the fact of the matter is that the Lord is looking for a people that want him. Not to just get a church so they can fix it, so it's everything they want it to be, which is nothing more than religiosity. The Lord wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. As we mature, we hear his invitation and go into the vineyards and are co-laborers with him in the harvest, and then we're able to bear much fruit that remains. But we must never forget the promises that we've made him. Are those that he's made to us. We cannot wander off away from him personally, not even to do good works for him. You can't leave the Lord of the harvest. You can't leave the Lord of the harvest for the purpose of the harvest. You have to always stay with the Lord of the harvest. It is about him. Actually, sometimes we make the harvest about ourselves. It's about what I'm going to do in the harvest and what my ministry is going to be. But you'll never be fruitful in the harvest until you keep Him as your first love. If we don't have Him in our hearts burning and alive, we are not pleasing Him, no matter how much we do for Him. Now, the Lord, you know, spoke to me in a prophetic word about the doors, long about the same time as the dream that He gave about where He was going to clear things up and He was going to give a strong testimony. And I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about the doors, because what I'm preaching to you today is a prophetic message that the Spirit of God has put in my heart and in my spirit. And I'm declaring to you what I have heard the Lord say to me. Now, I didn't have to tell Him it's the first of the year. He knew that. I do think it's very interesting that He's kind enough to our calendar and our sense of time, that He comes. Maybe He thinks something like, they think this is a good time to think about first, since it's the first of the year. Sometimes He feels to me like a convenient God, the way He does things. It's amazing. But the Lord spoke to me and He said, not only am I going to give you and your church a strong testimony, but I'm going to begin to open doors, and no one will be able to shut them. Not lies, not attacks of the enemy, not things the enemy tries to do to weaken us or make us sick or whatever sort of things. When God opens doors, no man can close them. But the first door to be opened is the door to our hearts. Revelation 3:20. You know, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. People like to think that that's an evangelistic thing, but it's not. It's about you. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, He wants us to become people that will open the door and start listening to His voice. And He says, and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, the experience that I told you about that I had last week, that's the experience, kind of experience it was. I opened the door. I heard Him knocking. I opened the door. Oh, how did I know it's Him like? Well, I sat down to pray. And I started telling Him how wonderful He is. And I began to weep. The weeping became like rivers. And He just began, he rode in on the waters of those rivers of tears. And He just began to speak almost through my eyes. It got to my ears and my brain. He just like swallowed me up in the wonder of who He is. And He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He'll come in. I'll give him to eat and he also will minister to me. The door always represents the entrance into a spiritual experience. Then the next door is the door to labor with him and be with him in the harvest. Unless he opens the door, we labor in vain and spin our wheels. 2 Corinthians 2:12, furthermore, when I came to Troy, as Paul said, to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me of the Lord. In our experience through the years, the Lord has opened many doors to us. It has surprised us. It's been amazing the doors that He opens. Because we come to Him in prayer as our first love, we sup with Him and He with us. And we begin to talk to Him and then He begins to reveal to us and open to us. Aren't you glad God has something fresh and new and different for you to do this year? You're not going to do the same old this year if you listen to God and if you walk with Him. And start out your week involved in our week of prayer and fasting so you can hear His voice. By the way, there was just a little typo error in the bulletin, and on the back page it had the fast going, I think, to the 23rd, something like that. It was from the 8th to way on up into the 20s, and I think that's for Jane. But the rest of us, I just want to mention that to you. It's just this week. It's this coming week. There's always something to be thankful for. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 16:9. He says, for a great door and effectual. When God opens doors, they're great doors. And they're effectual. You can do something. You can really get something done. You know, I was just sitting one day minding my own business, and I got a call from Mike that runs WLFG. That was this year, sometime this year. And he said, I was just wondering, I really need somebody to take the show for me. He'd never asked me to do that before. This is how doors open, you know. I think I've interviewed with him maybe 3 or 4 times. I said, you want me to take the whole show? That's an hour, you know. Yeah, just do anything you feel the Lord wants you to do. And I thought, now this is, you know, when a door opens like that, I just had this thought. Well, some people say, well, you know, that's not like the major networks or anything like that. You know, it's a TV station that was birthed over in the hills. Well, I ministered over there for Buford Smith that started that. I can remember one thing he said to me. I preached in his church before Shekinah. And I remember him said to me, now here, this is my really good mic. I don't know what kind it was at that time. And I'm going to give this to you to preach with. But I wouldn't give it to any of these other yelling hellfire preachers around here that would probably rattle it and ruin it. This is what I remember about him. And so they reach 5 states, you know. One time I was in North Carolina and turned the TV on, and sure enough, there they were. And so here's what the Lord said to me. You know, I've had you preach in all kinds of different places. This one just happens to be a little bit close to home. Remember how many states it covers and what an effectual door it is. And so I invited Judy. She's a good friend of mine that goes to church here. And interviewed her. It's hard for me to interview Judy because Judy's a person that's very easy to laugh and to get tickled. And I have to be careful how I look at her because she might break into laughing and not be able to stop. But I interviewed her, and she sang a couple of songs, and I shared, I can't remember what it was that I shared about. Now, what did I do to get that to happen? Not a thing in the world that I know of. But I do regularly come before the Lord in prayer. I do stay hooked in with my first love, and that's where the fruit bearing comes from. Do we understand this? So Jesus gave us explanation of this, how we go through these doors, when he explained in Matthew 7 about asking, seeking, and knocking. It's the three levels and types of prayer. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, some people never get beyond asking. Or the little boy who, you know, he had 3 prayers. Written on his wall, and before he'd go to bed each night, sometimes he'd pray prayer number 1. You know, Lord, I ask you to help mommy and daddy. Sometimes he prayed prayer number 2. Lord, I ask you to help me tomorrow. Sometimes he prayed prayer number 3. Lord, I pray that you'll help Papa and Granny. And so he just got used to praying. But all it was asking. It only got in the place of asking. By the way, how many of you know there's more to prayer than just asking God to do something for you? Hello! That's what we're going to be involved in this coming week. We're going to rise up into heavenly places. We're going to get up into prophetic realms. We're also going to hear from God. We're not just going to ask God to hear from us. But this little boy just got used to praying that way and felt like he pretty well had it sewed up. And so he got so that right before he'd go to bed, he'd say, all right, God, I'm going to go to bed now. Prayer number 1. And I feel like that we pretty much get it shorted, just as short as we can get. And some of us are still just telling prayers, well, Lord, you know what I'm going to pray anyway. I'll see you later. But he wants to hear your voice. He's got this funny, wonderful thing about him. Let me hear your voice. Thou art beautiful to me in the secret place of the stairs, O my beloved. He wants to hear your voice. The psalmist said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Some reason people want to pray silent prayers like God's secret sky agents. Now, I just want to say this. I know there's such a thing as silent prayer. Like when you're on an airplane or, you know, things like that, and you want to pray, and maybe you don't want everybody in the world to hear. But that is not the commissioning of prayer. It's about talking to God. And we like to be silent because we haven't gotten rid of all the bondage. Hello. So let's learn to talk to God. It's very important to talk to God. And we're praying in the corporate prayer meeting. Agreeing in prayer is that you're saying amen, or you might be, you know, quietly speaking in tongues. You're staying with the prayer effort. You're staying with it. I compare it to when we used to play softball and we'd yell to each other, better, 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 and things like that. You know, we need to all be into it. That's what corporate prayer is. That's why it's so powerful, because you do it together. You can't increase the power of prayer, but you can increase the size of the conduit that it flows through. And that's what's happening in corporate prayer when you get people together. So that's why we need to all do this together. I promise you, it is very powerful. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now these are the three levels of prayer. Every new convert is taught to ask. It is their great joy to learn that they really can receive things from God by asking. And next they learn to seek, and God, and as they get to know God, they seek Him. And then they become worshipers and they develop a devotional life. But knocking in prayer is the true intercession that opens doors that God wants us to go through. You know, God, there are things that God wants to do, but there needs to be intercession in order for those doors to be open. Now, why is that? Because that's how it is. And I could give you many, many scriptures that say God wants to do things and He's waiting for somebody to pray it into being. It's the work of intercession to knock in prayer until the doors are open. This is the third level of prayer, because it comes from the person who now understands that God has given him the great privilege to stand in the gap between heaven and earth and intercede for the will of God. It happens when our hearts become as God's hearts, and His suffering becomes our suffering. Through relationship with Him, we come into communion with Him, and He opens to us His heart, showing us things that many others may not be aware of. It is a very special privilege to be able to intercede in prayer. And this is what we're doing. And you know, as you do it together in corporate prayer, here is the wonderful advantage of it. Is that as we pray together, you are hearing the prayers of others. You are benefiting from the faith of others that are there. And it should be easier for you to pray in a corporate prayer meeting. Now, I know that some people are not accustomed to this, and you do have to kind of get used to it, to get all your stage fright over with, or whatever that is in the human psyche. But after you've been with God for a while, it becomes easier and easier to just let Him know, make known your requests, and to speak it forth. It might be that you'd have just a line or two that you'd want to pray in a corporate prayer meeting. Or it might be that you just haven't done any praying like that, and you're not going to do that yet this year, but you're going to come anyway. It's not about your performance, everybody. It's about us all being there, believing together, and it's a wonderful school of prayer. See, if you come where people are praying together, you learn how to pray. You know that that's why we have our children worship with us, instead of having them have their own worship service. If you learn what children know about worship, then you won't know very much about worship. I've understood that children are given to, when they start dancing and worshiping God, to forgetting totally what they're about and just turning somersaults. It's not a good way to... It's not a really high level worship. And the Lord showed me this. If you want to give an example to children how to worship, put them in with the adults. So we've always done that through the years. Now, it's that way in prayer meetings. When you come to corporate prayer meetings, then you'll hear people praying. Some of them will be more advanced in understanding of prayer, and you'll learn by being with them. And nobody can learn to do anything until they expose themselves to what they want to learn, until they take some small steps to begin, okay? So nobody's asking any of you to perform anything or to do anything great. I've heard people say, you know, through the years, oh, he sure does pray a good prayer. Well, I'm not sure what a good prayer is, to be honest with you. I just think you need to pray from your heart. You need to keep learning about prayer. You need to be reverent and understanding it's the God in heaven that you're praying to. You need to be really serious and sincere about it. But the important thing is God has given us the high and holy privilege of standing on earth and talking to Him in heaven, doing business with Him about what He wants to do here on earth. Do you know that's really true? Some people think that prayer is about begging and see if you can get anything out of God. No, it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. Psalm 110 and verse 1 says this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now this is God the Father saying to the Son. But this is David. This is the Psalms revealing this. The Father in heaven said to the Son, you sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now this is the most wonderful revelatory sentence to the church. If we understood this, we would be so amazed that God entrusts us with this level of prayer. He says that God has dominion over the whole earth. And when He does whatever it is that He wants to do, He sends a burden to His people that pray. And He lays on them what is in His heart. And He tells them then to pray about it until it's accomplished, till the enemies are defeated. You know, there's an atmosphere between earth and heaven, and we need to pray through those things. Like in Daniel, I shared with you just recently, it took 21 days. The prayer of Daniel's was heard, but it took 21 days because the prince of Persia withstood the prayer. But we come simply to pray as we know how to pray, to declare, to decree, to call on God, to petition, to do all of those things. And the Lord has called the church to do that. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of His strength out of Zion. The rod of God's strength is a rod that will rule, that will cause earth in whatever area to come into His dominion. We were watching a special on India that was so outstanding. And then I remembered when they were saying how in 1857, that the Indian people suddenly revolted. And they had been under the rule of all these different people, and they suddenly wanted to be free. The writers of revival call 1857 the Annus Mirabilis, which means the year of miracles. All India opened to the gospel that year. Somebody's somewhere prayed that through. And it is part of the reason why these people rose up to overthrow the governments, so that they could then get the true religion, true Christianity, and get to really know God. So the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. What God has given us, prayer. In prayer, we don't run from our enemies. We don't go where it's easy. We go where God wants us to express His dominion in the midst of the enemies. Isn't this an amazing thing? As Carol has already shared with us this morning, why God didn't just get rid of the devil. But the fact of the matter is that we serve God. Imagine an angel walking by with water. You never know what will happen. We have a congregation where every member is a comedian in his own right. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. We are in the midst of enemies on every side, church. Even the things that have been passed down through our government in the past several years, a lot of it has been to shut down Christianity, to take away our privileges. Next, let's take away their right for income tax reductions when they give to the church. Let's just spoil them any way we can. We have to, but how do we rule in the midst of our enemies? We do it through prayer. And God hears and answers our prayers. And so if we haven't prayed and really sought God, then we can't expect to get the victory over our enemies. We rule in the midst of our enemies, and we welcome places that is thick with enemies as a place where God can get glory. Not like the man that I talked to that said, I'm going to quit my job. I don't want to work there anymore. I said, why? He said, it was a good job. He made good money. He said, well, they cussed there. I said, did you think they'd sing hymns? They're unbelievers. You know, you have to understand that when you make statements like that, you're really showing yourself to be a Pharisee. The world is just the world. Don't ever expect the world to do anything but sin. Hey, that's what we're here for, to be light in the middle of darkness. Just hope you won't enter their sin. If it's so terrible, why are you tempted by it? Hello. Doesn't cost any extra when I make comments like that. The rod by which God rules comes out of the church. But verse 3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. This is such a beautiful picture. You know, there are times when God's people are just asleep. And then there are times when God begins to move and reviving and waking his people up, suddenly his people are willing for anything. They are willing for anything. As we've discovered this through the revivals that we've had here that I've ministered in other places. Church, if you can pray in a revival, you don't have to worry about anything else. And this is one of the things that we will be praying about. We will be praying for revival in our prayer meeting, because this is the answer to all the awful problems the church has. And I'm praying for that revival to start someplace, and why not here? And I continue to ask God for revival. We want to host revival. I had somebody recently visited with me and said in their church, it's a large church, that revival kind of started, but the older people in the church didn't want it to continue because people got tired and they got weary of it, and then some of them leave the church. And our person said, who used to be in our church, said, then that's the ones that you need to lose. We found through the years that from time to time we lose people that don't want to go on. It's okay. I mean, do we want God or do we want people first? No, we want God first. And God will bring the people that are hungry for him. There'll always be a remnant. And God will direct them as to where they should come. They want to worship him in spirit and in truth and will want revival. I've told the Lord, I don't care. I don't care. I would be happy if we had revival till Jesus returns. And we just have to find, we'd have to get a way to work with it. There'd be plenty of people that would come and help us. Have you ever thought about that? I hear John Kilpatrick tell about how much toilet tissue was used in the bathrooms during that. Seemed like it was enough to go around the world twice or something like that. Just little things like that. I mean, it's a lot of trouble to have a revival, and it's a lot of trouble to be without God too. And it's trouble of every kind, and it's trouble every day, and it's trouble on every side, and it's trouble that's destroying the nation. Come on, church, let's be willing for a little trouble for the right things. The rod by which God rules come out of the church, and we will be willing in the day of his power, thank God, in the beauty of holiness. This is how the world experiences the dominion of Christ in this present world, is that the church prays it into being. Wherever you see the enemy blocked, you know that people somewhere praying prayed that into place. The enemy has always got plans to overthrow and overturn, but there's always God's people who have other plans. Through intercession, the church enters into the priestly function of providing an earthly base for God's heavenly interest. Through intercession, the believer feels the suffering of Christ, his own particular needs in the world and the church. You see, if you give yourself to intercession, you'll begin to feel Christ's burden. You'll begin to long after what he longs after. I don't know about you, but I have a real yearning over the nations of the earth. I long to see the truth established further and further and for us to be more and more involved. I long to be involved in bringing deliverance where the sex trade is involved, where all the terrible abuse is happening. I long to see people that are disparaged, that nobody loves or nobody thinks about. I long to see those needs met. And the more you weep in your own heart over that, the more you are carrying Christ's burden. And that's what causes you to be willing to intercede. And your broken heart and your intercession is what brings breakthrough and answers. I know that a lot of you carry these burdens because I've heard you talk about them. But if we carry his burden, it's because he is our first love. And we allow him to continue to be our first love. I felt that the Lord wanted me to tell you that this is going to be an exciting year. And that he's going to open doors that no man can close. And he's going to take us further and deeper. And maybe rather just say exactly where you are. You have to listen careful before you answer my questions, right? And you don't want to be like the man that that Spurgeon saw a man sleeping. So right in the middle of his sermon, he yelled out, "Fire!" And the man suddenly jumped up, straight up on his feet and said, where? And Spurgeon said, "In hell for people like you that sleep through the sermons." We're all just people. He's favored us to let us be his church. But the church is not just a thing or a picture that we look at and try to adjust from time to time. Lord says this to me all the time. The church is people. The church is this person and that person. The one that's doing the well and the one that's making a lot of mistakes. They're all my church. Amen. And I want them to always look at and see each other as people, not this church, this. You know, anytime you say this church, this, and this church, that, you're talking about yourself too, unless you've left the church. And then in that case, you say that church. So as long as you're saying this church, you got to be really careful because you're talking about yourself. So I want to say today, this sure is a wonderful church. I really do love this church. Well, is it perfect? There's no such thing as a perfect church. And don't be so silly. A church is a wonderful church when it seeks after God, when it worships in spirit and truth, when it really does believe in prayer, and when it goes out after the lost and carries them as a burden in their heart. That's a really good, wonderful church. And if you're looking for a perfect one, please don't go there and spoil it, okay? So I want us to be excited about the year that is ahead. And why don't we just stand together? You've been sitting a little while this morning. Hasn't it been a good day in his presence today? I've really enjoyed being in church this morning. I'm glad that we could come to church. I'm glad that we didn't have that awful white snow stuff that they've been having in the north. Pray and ask the Lord to deliver us, especially on Sunday. I relax about the rest of the week to some extent. Listen, is Jane here? Jane, are you still here? I just thought I saw her escape. I wanted to say that Next Saturday, there could possibly be some snow. And so I want, just in case there is any snow, I want you to check our website, the Shekinah website, our Facebook page, and we'll just put right on there if there's any question about us having church. It has to get really awfully bad before we cancel church here. We don't much believe in that. And we need it so badly. And remember that, you know, these cold months, they're difficult. They're trying months, you know. The electric bills go up. My, I don't even, after looking at mine at home, I'm going to say to him, don't tell me what it is for the church, please. So remember, everybody, get your tithe in. If you can't be in, and mail it in or whatever, because operating expenses are very high this time of year, so that really helps us. But I want to tell you something this morning. Let me say this before I share one last thing with you. I'm believing God to make this week the best week of prayer and fasting we've ever had. Now, I made sure that the bulletin today has all that wonderful information in it that it had last Sunday. My, that's a small encyclopedia about fasting, isn't it? So you read all that stuff. And don't you get in a dither about how you're supposed to, how you're supposed to eat this, that, and the other. You pray about it. You talk to some mature person. Don't talk to somebody that just got saved the day you did. But talk to a mature person about it. But you have to learn. You have to start somewhere, don't you? But fast the best that you can. Be a part of it. Find a way to be a part. And come to as many prayer meetings as you can. Now, let me tell you this one thing about the prayer meetings, because you need to know this. Maybe some of you haven't even been to some of our corporate prayer meetings. When you come in, if you get there on time or near on time, we'll be worshiping. There'll be music played, and that goes on for maybe 15 minutes or so. But whenever you come in, don't go be talking to people, because we're already worshiping and we're already praying, okay? So immediately just come in and be in a worshipful attitude. Get your mind. If you had something you just have to tell somebody, then that's on the other end of the prayer meeting, right? Not in the middle of it. Not. It's really important to keep the focus, because I wanted to tell you, if we're worshiping God, then we've already made a way for His presence. So therefore, you wouldn't want to be talking to somebody with God's presence right there, would you? With God presencing Himself, I should say, among us. Just telling you things you might not be aware of. And so you just listen. If you haven't been in the prayer meetings before, you just listen to how people are praying, and you won't be wrong at all or out of order if you pray a little something that's on the subject of what we're praying about. Let's say we're praying about the nation of whatever, and somebody has a real burden and has prayed about it. Well, don't just jump in there and say, Lord, I want you to heal Aunt Sally's elbow, okay? So Just let it, you know, pray in that little space for a little time. Pray with the subject. That's called the flowing with the spirit of prayer. And we can get around to Aunt Sally later. And you don't have to make prayer requests in the prayer meeting. You can just pray, Lord, while we're praying for healing, Lord, I want to lift up Aunt Sally's elbow. Oh, this is a good time. Then we're all going to agree her elbow will be well before you know it. And but I want you to prosper and benefit by these prayer meetings. And that's why we make it just really clear. I think the meetings are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. starting this Monday. And so the other thing is the weather, in my opinion, even if we have a little snow or something, it has to be better than last week. I was really glad that it wasn't last week. Now, let me give you one more thing. I mentioned this to you last week, but it's important, so I want you to listen. On the news programs on TV, they say that there's a real epidemic of flu and these things that are going on. Now, you don't want to be fearful, but you want to be sensible. So I want everybody to say, I'm not fearful, but I'm sensible.
I'm not fearful, but I'm sensible.
Okay, if you get right in somebody's face and you've gotten one of these things, then you're just saying, would you like my flu? So please do not do that. And I promise you that you will be all right if you don't go around doing a whole bunch of hugging until this little season is over. Just go over to people, just stand, give them a little bit of room. You don't even have to shake hands. You can just give them a little bit of room, and I'm just saying to you that a lot of things are passed on by getting too close, doing too much touching. And the other thing is, if you have a fever, then it's better for you to be out a day or two until you don't have that fever. And then if you come to a prayer meeting or whatever, and you're not just real sure, or you've had a little bit of problem or whatever, just come and take one of the back seats. That's a very kind and considerate thing to do. And one more thing that's really important. Are our doctors here today? Have we got any doctors? Well, if we don't have doctors, I can just tell you anything. What'd you say? The other thing I want to say is, here's the other thing. When you cough, cover your mouth. Everybody know what a Kleenex is, right? Keep them in your Bible. Keep them in your pocket. And it's very considerate and loving. When you cough, cover your mouth with that Kleenex. If you could keep someone from catching the awful thing you've just been through, wouldn't you want to do it? Yes. Okay, so that's what this is about. I just want to say enough about it that you would really... The reason that John leaves early, especially during this season, his doctor wants this, so that people don't come over and shake his hand and especially kiss him and pass them along to him, because he cannot get any of these kinds of things. And today is the one-year anniversary of his deliverance from the attack where the enemy tried to do him harm. Lord, we give you glory. And let me just add one more thing. What I'm telling you now is more spiritual than you think it is. Because if you don't take care of yourself and each other, then you won't be in the prayer meetings, and that's not very spiritual. Think about it. It's not spiritual to be in prayer meetings because you just expose yourself to just any old germ. How many of you here have a coat? When I was traveling one time, people don't know where Tennessee is, and they said, "Well, so Tennessee's really in the South. I mean, do you own a coat?" And I think some people in this area don't know that you can own a coat. But you can, and you can put it on. And you can also cover your head, and if it's really cold, your nose and your mouth. It helps so much to keep you well. It doesn't last very long, folks, and then we'll be through with it. And keep yourself covered with prayer. And thank God that He does keep you well. Isn't it wonderful? Let's bow our hearts in His presence for a moment. Lord, thank You that You have given us the health that we have. And we want to pray, Lord, for those that are at home that couldn't be here today because of sickness. And we curse the root of flu. And we bind everything that causes pneumonia and any kind of sickness, congestion, bronchitis, we just bind those things in Jesus' name. And we agree together in the name of Jesus that You will cover us as a church. Lord, we declare that we get quick healings from any little thing that comes along, that they do not linger. And we thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your wonderful blood that cleanses us and protects us. And I pray for Eddie and Andy as well, that as they need their voices for the things that they're involved in. And I know that especially, I think Andy has been a little bit sick again. And I just drive that wicked thing from their home, every germ, every bacteria, every virus. And we just say, Lord, give them strength, strengthen their immune systems. And Lord, we pray for all of our immune systems in this place. And we pray, Lord, that You would heal us, make us strong, and give us a good, strong testimony of how You protected us and took care of us this winter. And Lord, I pray for the week of prayer and fasting. We just pray, would you lift your hands to heaven for a moment? We call on the name of the Lord. Lord, You're the one. Holy Spirit, You are the one. Your presence reveals Jesus and makes the Word live. Your presence prays through us and gives us intercessions Oh, that cannot be uttered. Oh, Holy Ghost, we just pray for your fresh 2018 anointing on this week of prayer and fasting. Lord, we're doing a simple little thing we're doing. But we do it from our heart, Lord, and we do it obediently. And we do it with you being our first love. To take us back, Lord, to that place where we loved you with all of our being right in the beginning. And restore first love to every one of us. Wherever we've grown cold or distant or got other things crowded into our lives, take us back, Lord. Even during this week of prayer and fasting, take us close to yourself. Speak a fresh word to us. Give us fresh new vision and revelation. Show us the doors that are open to us as individuals, Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for a wonderful time in your presence today. We pray that you'll bring us together, and Lord, we pray that you'll keep us safe. In the week that is ahead, we declare it's going to be one of the best weeks of our life, and that much will be accomplished for your glorious kingdom, because we want to know, Jesus. We want you to know you are our first love. Eddie, would you lead us in worship before we go?